In this podcast, I'm going to talk about building a family of creation for single people. This episode and every episode, I'm going to share the greatest tools that I know to help you find love and keep it flourishing and heal your life in the process. Because the skills of dating are nothing more than the skills of love. And the skills of love are the greatest skills of all for a happy, rich life. And if you want to learn more about the Deeper Dating Path to Real Intimacy, just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com and you can sign up for my mailing list, get free gifts, learn about how to use these ideas to transform your own intimacy journey, and see transcripts of every episode.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page and I'm a psychotherapist. I'm the author of Deeper Dating and the co-founder of DeeperDating.com, a site where single people can meet in an online environment that's inspiring, kind, fun, and respectful. I also just want to say that everything I share in this podcast is educational in nature. It is not medical or psychiatric advice or treatment. And if you're experiencing any serious symptoms, please seek professional help. And finally, if you like what you're learning here, I would love it if you could subscribe and leave me a review. So thank you so much for that, and let's dive in. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a six-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. I would love to talk about, and this is for everyone, this is for people who are single, people who are coupled, but specifically, I want to talk about building a family of creation in the world for people who are single and looking for a relationship. This is a huge, huge subject and one that I have a lot of personal relationship to, and as a psychotherapist, one that I work with people around all the time. This is important on so many levels because the deepest skills of intimacy that we're going to use in our relationship, our romantic relationship, are learned through all of our social relationships. The big, big things of making a different kind of decision about who you're going to choose to be with, about learning how to choose people who really feed your soul, attractions of inspiration in the friendship arena, and then getting through all of the roadblocks and obstacles and dilemmas and fears of closeness and all the patterns that come up. We learn that by building love in our life, and that helps us profoundly make better choices about who we're going to end up committing to and living in the relationship with the person that we commit to in a richer, deeper way. So I just want to say something about just a little bit about my story. So I guess I could start way, way at the beginning, but where I'm going to start was arriving in New York City to go to graduate school and being a gay man and discovering this buffet, this banquet of sex, the search for love, infinite, infinite varieties of playground type ways to hook up and connect. And, you know, in my eyes, all the time looking for what I really wanted, which was a relationship. But you might not have known that from the things that I was doing on a regular basis, because that's what I was brought up in. This was like the gay men's crazy, crazy life of the 80s. Anyway, I did this for a long time. And my goal was to find love. And I devoted a lot of time to my profession. That was very exciting to me, and I was passionate about that. And I kind of devoted most of the rest of my time to this beautiful, beautiful world of like this gay pre-AIDS blossoming of queer culture, which was fun and sexual and magical and kind of empty in a lot of ways at the same time. So I did this. I was passionate about it, passionate for years. I just didn't want to even leave New York City on the weekends. And I was driven. I was driven to find love. And I failed at finding love. But there was so much excitement that I kept doing this. At a certain point, I committed to a deeper path of healing, and that involved therapy, and that was also when I was getting trained as a therapist at the same time, and I went into therapy. And one of the most amazing things that happened to me at that point was that I discovered, because I kind of slowed down and connected to my feelings enough, I discovered that as filled as my life was, it was really empty. And that as much time as I was spending looking for love, I was spending like no time building love, except maybe with the wrong people, like the club people or whoever it was that I felt had what I wanted at that time. But when I entered into deeper therapy work and workshops and groups and this kind of deeper training, I discovered an emptiness that was so great. And I remember, and it was this is kind of when the shift in my journey away from shame and away from emptiness began. And I remember being in a workshop and I was touching on a loneliness that was so huge that I didn't let myself even feel it. And I remember at one point, like, deep tears came out. But if you ever saw a kid who got like hurt and they were so upset and so shocked that their mouth was wide open, but no cry came out because kind of the tears were too big at first to find traction. I remember feeling that way. And then I remember the tears just pouring and pouring out. And this was a good thing. This was a huge healing. I was beginning to recognize that I had not built family in the world. I had not built community, and the beautiful people who I could have had that with didn't interest me enough. Now, this is just my story, and it may not be your story, but maybe pieces of it relate to you and are useful, because that is when my deeper, richer journey began to change. I began to think of the people who I adored and who felt safer to me, who I had kind of not really spent much time with for years as I was in this search looking for love and in this kind of crazy world that I was in. And I began to reach out to those people. And I realized how hungry I was for family, for people to just connect with and live with and be stupid with and have fun with and do nothing with. None of those were parts of my New York City life. So I began to reconnect with people who were very precious to me. And I'm going to come back to this, because this connects to, I think, one of the greatest ways that we can start building connection and family in our lives. And as I did that, I started building connections in other ways. I had a wonderful support group of other therapists it went on for 12 years, and it was infinitely nourishing to me. I decided that I was ready to have cats, which you might think is kind of crazy at like 30 years old, but that was very, very big for me. And that was another moment of revelation that I could take care of these pets for me at that point, because I had been kind of stunted. It was a very huge and deep and emotional thing. It was a milestone. I still remember it. I started a support group for chronically single therapists, and I realized how important connection and family was. All along this journey, at the same time, I was looking for relationships. And as I learned the lessons that I described, my friends changed, and I began to choose what I call attractions of inspiration for my friends. I did not realize that that was the heart and soul of what was going to change my entire search for love. It happened with friends first, and then I started noticing that the guys that I was dating had more depth, had more decency, had deeper traction in goodness and authenticity than I was used to with the people that I was hanging out with. And I realized how great a hunger I had for family. And at one point along the way, this is something I've talked about a bunch, but I saw Almodovar's movie All About My Mother, and I left the movie and I was very shaken. It was about someone who found a path to meaning after great tragedy through building family in different ways in the world. That's how I experienced it. And I left the movie and I thought, what's going on inside me? Well, my next step in building a family without a partner, was to become a dad, was to adopt a child as a single dad. This was something I dreaded so much for so many years because I thought, well, that would be the ultimate like stamp on my eternal singlehood if I did that. But what I ended up feeling like was I felt like, you know, most of my friends were not dads at that time. And I felt like I was at this long table of people and they were all eating rubber chicken at a banquet. And I had this gloppy, gooey, glorious chocolate dripping sundae that I was eating. That's what it was like to be a dad for me. And it brought me incredible joy and moved me into a state of family, which I had been so longing for. That led to my meeting my husband and his children and building a shared family together and kind of meeting so much of those needs. But it didn't happen the way that I thought it would happen. I thought I was going to find a boyfriend and that boyfriend would become a lover. And we didn't have husbands yet in those days, but life partner, that was what I thought. But I found that I had to dig my own well. And that well was building beautiful family, looking for the people who were deep with their authenticity and deep with their integrity and deep with their goodness, who truly loved and appreciated me, and building a world with them. That was anathema for me because I thought it meant moving away from the thing that mattered the most, which was finding a relationship. But God knows that was what moved me toward that. And so many of you know this wisdom. I didn't know it much at all. But if this is any help for those of you that maybe think that you really just need to find the partner and then family will come after that, that for most of us, the great lessons of love are learned in building a family of creation in the world, whether we have a partner or not. So I just want to say another thing here. I want to veer because your search, our search for a healthy and beautiful and inspiring family of creation is an absolute mirror for finding your one, finding your beloved. It's not different. Marianne Williamson said this so gorgeously. I love this quote. She said, "As I grow emotionally and spiritually," and I'm paraphrasing, "my friends become more like lovers, and my lovers become more like friends." I would go as far as to say that the journey to build a family of creation is the very foundation, is essential for everybody who is on an intimacy journey, whether they have a partner, whether they don't have a partner, but definitely those who are single. This journey to create rich family is where we learn our lessons. Many of you know this already, but I just want to share a couple other things. One is that in my decades of being a therapist and doing this work, and this is something I've talked about in other podcasts, I see a three-stage process that encapsulates and captures kind of the wiser intimacy journey. So the first stage is that we are kind of embroiled in relationships with people that maybe irritate us or frustrate us or don't meet our needs. We try to get them to. It doesn't work that well. Maybe they're abusive. Maybe they take advantage of us. But they're not the relationships where our heart says, oh, this is family. This is home. This is good. This is safe. These are beings I respect and trust. And really, you know, the great truth, I think, is that it's only with those people that we find a real foundation and find real happiness. Those are the people we need. You know, we have people we don't have a choice. We need to be with them. They're family. But in terms of family of creation, that's it. That's it. Those are the choices we must make. Anything else is almost a waste. So, and I don't want to say that old relationships should just be junked, but they might need to be revamped or changed or healed or shifted, or maybe let go of. Anyway, the first stage for many of us is to be embroiled in relationships like that, including romantic relationships, what I call attractions of deprivation. The second stage, which I have been fortunate enough to witness huge, huge numbers of time in doing the work that I do and teaching, doing the teaching that I do, the second stage, as we begin to claim the beauty of our hearts and our authenticity and our real selves, is that we begin to lose our taste for those people. Literally, we start losing our taste for them. It's not as exciting or entrancing or sticky or itchy or endlessly engaging to try to pull those people along or get them to be different or try to be more like them because we think we're just too sensitive. We lose our taste for that. And then there's this weird second stage often, which is pretty empty. It's like nothing is going on, but something is going on. The deeper shift is happening underneath. The seedlings under the earth are just beginning to move, because this is a vast shift when we lose our taste for attractions of deprivation. So stage two is kind of marked by a weird kind of emptiness, like, where are my people? And Ramakrishna, the great saint Ramakrishna, who was given his temple that later became a great, great center of kind of spiritual development in India, he used to do this thing. He would go up onto the steps and he would actually call out, "My own, come to me." That was a kind of practice he did because he knew that his life was empty of his people. And then his people began to come. So that middle stage is an odd one, but it passes. And people who feed our souls start coming into our life when that becomes our intention. And that is a fabulous, amazing thing. The same stages happen in our search for love. And so then, as the second stage moves into the third stage, and the third stage is having a life that's filled with attractions and relationships of inspiration. So what happens is, and it's almost unnoticeable, I, as a therapist and a coach, you really usually have to help people begin to notice that their field is really shifting at this point, that these new relationships come up, like all of a sudden you're meeting friends who don't disturb you in those same ways or shake you up, but instead feed you and nurture you. You begin to notice that there are people who speak truth like you speak truth, or care about goodness like you care about goodness, or care about integrity like you care about integrity, or whatever the things are for you, that it's, you feel that wonderful feeling of, these people are kind of my spiritual home in the world. And you notice it like in little ways, like you're in class and there's someone next to you and they're just really nice and they're interested in maybe hanging out. And you might be, don't even notice that as a thing, but I'm encouraging you to notice that as a thing, because as you do this journey, that begins to happen. And then that happens more and more, and your life, little by little, becomes more populated with these beautiful people. Is this quick? Is it easy? No. Is it slow? Is it frustrating? Often. But it is beautiful and foundational and precious. And then the more it happens, the more your life becomes populated with these new relationships. And then you are in stage three. And going through these stages with your friends moves you into going through the exact same stages, if you do it consciously, in your relationships. Sometimes that's harder, because when you're talking about sex and romance, it's easier to get sticky with kind of those old paradigms. But those are the three stages. So the next thing I want to say is, I want to talk about, how can you speed that process up? What is the quickest, smartest way to begin to fill your life with family of creation? What I have found to be true, if you really want to speed this up, is don't start from scratch. Look at your contacts over the last number of years and see who has a quality of goodness, a rock solid quality of goodness combined with integrity. Who interests you by the way that they choose to live their lives? Who has an essential generosity of spirit? Every one of those people are gold. They're your tribe. Maybe not perfectly or exactly, but essentially and in really big ways, those are the places to go back. And I know that for me, I kind of gave those relationships short shrift for a long time when I was on my kind of crazy search for just a relationship. So start with those people, because you probably have them in your life already, and build the connection and build the sense of family. Another thing that's wonderful that I talk about all the time is to have a learning partner. If there's someone who's single, who's willing to do the deeper work, who has all the qualities I just described, and is willing to do the richer, deeper work of intimacy, become learning partners with them. Meet once a week, in person, on Zoom, laugh, bitch, complain, but share your growth and support each other in your growth. It's this act of bringing family to our worlds that makes our worlds so much more meaningful. This is such a rich journey, and I'd love to hear from people what your experience is with this. You could just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com and press Ask Ken. Love to hear your stories too. And for all of you, the great treasure in looking for love and looking for family is to choose and find those people who feel like home and have those qualities of character and goodness and decency, and to build your home there. Good luck in your journey, and thanks for listening, and I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.